only matches in the blank will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you this star-studded panel.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we only have matches in the blank here. Question becomes, which matches where, Chico?
Does this match that? Does this blank go with this blank? It's a question that we're going to answer this time next month. But right now, we've got to wrap up Top Chef. We've got to talk about Jeopardy with a bit of a cameo that Jason really, really wanted to talk about. We remember one of the greatest hosts to come out of the Food Network. And you will be changed for good.
Ooh.
Yes, we will. So, if you would please, Chico, start us off.
From somewhere in America, WLTI is all. Let's go.
We are down to four episodes before episode 500. This is number 496 on the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block. I am your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and making sure everybody's got their hydration going, because it's going to get bleep hot over the next week or so.
It is going to get very blank and hot outside. I got my Stanley. I got my misting fan. I got my neck fan. I've got this ice block that I'm sitting on right now. I'm good.
And, of course, Gordon Pepper, Chico Alexander, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am. And we need to start off with really shocking news out of my hometown of Brooklyn, New York. The loss of one of the biggest presenters and chefs of the 21st century on Food Network, and that's Ann Burrell.
Yes, Ann Burrell, host of Worst Cooks in America, and actually, she got her start. Interesting how she got her start. Mario Batali needed a sous chef for Iron Chef America Battle of the Masters, which was that pilot series that sort of bridged the old Iron Chef from Japan with Iron Chef America, sort of acted like a.
And we're not talking the William Shatner one.
No. We're talking about the Food Network one that was done by Triage and Food Network, and she was one of Mario Batali's sous chefs, and she just became this rock star chef on Iron Chef, and you know that led to Worst Cooks and. I don't know if she's undefeated on Worst Cooks, but she was a damn fine host and coach on Worst Cooks in America.
Gordon, now you remember we covered one specific season because a couple of people you knew were on that show.
Oh, we did cover first season. I did reach out to some of the people that were part of the season. You know, shock, sadness. The whole nine yards. Everybody was depressed. I mean, Ann Burrell, and I've been fortunate enough to meet her in person. Wonderful human being. You know, really, really nice person that's there. I mean, it's awful, you know, to be quite honest. And she's going to be severely missed.
She's going to be severely missed because, look, with all due respect to the show, she was not the problem on the show. She was never the problem on the show. The problem was the contestants and the casting. I have always said this. She was the one bright star in this particular aspect of things. I love her. I think
the reason why the show worked was because of her, to be quite honest.
Indeed. Yes. We got some press from Food Network here. She says, they say, Anne was a remarkable person and culinary talent, teaching, competing, always sharing the importance of food in her life and the joy that a delicious meal can bring. Our thoughts are with Anne's family, friends, and fans during this time of tremendous loss. That, of course, means her husband Stuart Claxon, she married in 2021, his son Javier, her mother Marlene, and her sister Jane. All right, this is from Tyler Florence. This was on his Instagram. If you can make it on the Food Network, you're lucky. Not only do you get a chance to share your passion for food and cooking with millions of people, but your colleagues, the ones you work with, hang out with, travel the world with, go to food festivals with, and learn from, that's the true gift. We lost Anne today. My co-star on her hit show, Worst Cooks in America, for 7 seasons. I'm heartbroken. So are Tolan and the kids. She loved our family deeply. We spent our summers in New York City filming Worst Cooks, and we all went out to dinner once a week as a big family. If we had the next day off, we would stay out late, drink Italian Reds, and laugh. No one was funnier. She was Mensa smart with razor wit and sincere kindness. She loved animals, especially her cats. She owned New York City. She was recognized everywhere. The city loved her. We would go to Rangers games, and she and I would make it on the Jumbotron in MSG, and people would recognize her crazy hair and fall all over her. She lit up the room, a very special person who shared her love of cooking with a generation. I was lucky to have a front row seat to watch her gift. She was an incredible chef, and I learned a lot from her, as we all do with one another. Anne had a collage of star tattoos on her left arm. I asked her what they meant, and she said she loved the night sky, and how lucky she felt to be a star. She was one of the brightest. There's a new star in the sky tonight. I see you, Anne, with all your sparkle looking down. Thank you for sharing your gift with us. We're all lucky.
And many other chefs have commented, including Bobby Flay, Alex Guarnaschelli, Guy Fieri, Andrew Goldman. I apologize if I screwed that up. Duff Goldman. A bright star has been snuffed out way, way too soon at 55. So, moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of chefs, we need to go to Milan for, of course, what we always get in the finale, which is the final three, Ailey, Shuai, and Tristan, cooking the best four-course progressive meal of their lives in the finale of Top Chef Destination Canada. Bailey chose Lana as her sous chef, Shuai chose Paula, and Tristan chose Zubair. The meals were served in Krakow in Galleria to several guest diners, including Claire Smith, owner of the restaurant Kalo Krakow, Richard Blaze and Gregory Gourdet, Hunter Lewis, the editor-in-chief of Food and Wine, and chefs Chera Cicolini, Santiago Lastra, Tim Flores, and Jeannie Kwan. Chico, you have the meals, don't you?
I do have the meals, and here they are. For the first course, Bailey has a polpo e mozz, tomato dashi, and jardinera. Shuai has a panipuri with scarlet shrimp, aji verde, salsa matcha, and gazpacho verde. And Tristan has a monkfish with pickled turnips, tempura broccoli, and bacala mbongo. That's the first course. Second course. For Bailey, porcini and robiola anolini alpini with cabbage, pecan, and brodo. Shuai has a soup dumpling raviolo with pork and king crab, charred leek vinaigrette, and lardo. And Tristan has a pollo d'orengo with injera shrimp toast and shellfish jus. Third course, blackened orata with Calabrian chili crunch for Bailey, whipped tahini, Brussels sprouts, and beets for Shuai, Tungku osobuco with sweet and sour sauce, radicchio, long beans, and grits. And for Tristan, oxtail milanese crepinette with Carolina gold rice grits, curry butler, and bone marrow gremolata. And the fourth course, the one that probably decides it, Bailey. Torta di pizzella with zucca mascarpone cream and espresso stracciatella gelato. Shuai. Ambrosia, pear and orange jello, pistachio, Italian meringue, and coconut. And Tristan, tropical root vegetable cake with chutney, charred plantain cream, and cassareep sorbet. No surprise here. Your winner of Top Chef of Destination Canada is... I called it. Tristan!
Me!
Do you agree with the decision?
I do agree with the decision. Tristan has been very good the whole entire season. Usually on Top Chef, sure, there are surprises, but usually the winner is consistency.
Yeah,
and he had the most...
Which is what he's been. And he's had the most wins, Jay.
Had the most wins. He was... He won four times, was in the top high group five times, and was only in the bottom once, which was the low group once.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the final menus, and it seems like Bailey was very consistent. Shuai, grits aside, was also very consistent. Tristan just had to be the most consistent of the three because he was playing to his strengths and does things that no one would ever think of doing, like making a shellfish jus, which is basically you're making a shellfish stock, but you're reducing it down to a jus, and then a bone marrow gremolata with oxtails in the third course, and then that tropical root vegetable cake in the dessert. Didn't I say that dessert was going to be the decider?
Yeah.
I think the other thing that Tristan did before we move on, I think the other thing that he did was not only did he play to his strengths, he played to the Canada theme.
Yes.
Which he did a number of times when other chefs basically pulled out their best, which is fine, but Tristan said, you know what, I'm going to pull something out and use it on reflection of Canada. And one of the things that the finalists have had in common now for a number of seasons is that they take advantage of the theme and they utilize it based on that. And very, very clever cooking. And Tristan was one of the chefs that did that, and that's one of the reasons why he won, in my opinion.
Indeed.
Right. And now, according to rumors for next year, next year, season 23 is going to be Top Chef's 20th anniversary season.
Will we be seeing another season of winners?
I wonder what they're going to cook up.
But I have to ask: was this another good season? Kristen Kish, this was season two. What, season two or season one?
This was season two. Season two of her as host. And frankly, she's been a really solid presence. She has, of course, a lot of help with Gail Simmons and Tom Colicchio. But this was her time to shine. And the competition being as good as it was made her shine, I think.
I was going to say, is this your first one? Do we not forget Top Chef Wisconsin so quickly?
No, it's been a while, that's all. But time to hit the workroom. And we have the final group of quarterfinalists, if you really want to call it that. And they are Diabetic, Ginger Minge, Alyssa Hunter, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, Acid Benny, and Denali. And we only have Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo in there.
Gee, I wonder why.
Let's see. You had 2024's most popular movie, and it's going to be 2025's popular movie, For Good.
Yes, Wicked For Good is the upcoming release. I believe it's coming out this Christmas. I can't wait for it. But yeah, we got a new bracket of queens. For the main challenge, the queens have to work in pairs to create both good and wicked witch looks for the runway, alongside an enchanting backstory. The pairs are Dia Betty and Ginger Minge, Alyssa Hunter and Cynthia Lee Fontaine, and Acid Betty and Denali. Good, they're good pairs, right? Good pairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and, Jason?
Runway category is, of course, Good Witch, Bad Witch. Dia Betty and Ginger Minge are the top two queens of the week. Ace lip sync to Defying Gravity, which is the Act One closer of Wicked. And Ginger Minge wins and receives the prize, which is $10,000 and an extra point. As of right now, Acid Betty, Alyssa Hunter, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, and Denali have 1 point, and Dia Betty has 2, and Ginger Minge has 3.
Not a shock there, don't you think, Gordon?
No, this is screaming Ginger Minge, Dia Betty, and pick somebody else. To reach the next round.
Denali.
Yeah.
It could be Denali. You know, there is a shift there. I personally would love to see Acid Betty get in just because of who she is. But that being said, she's got to work for it, and she's got some work to do.
Yep. But right now, Dia Betty and Ginger Minge with the inside track, as it were. So, So we move on to next week, whatever that is, and we'll find out at about midnight when the episode drops. But anywho, let's go to
yes,
not Johnny Gilbert. What the hell?
Not well, because Phineas and Ferb were on the show this week, giving clues about invention. So yes, we play this button again. Well, there's also a reason, because honestly speaking right now, Matt Massey lost his third game, and we have been on Wheel of Champions ever since. Even with tonight's game, with Jacob Hale, a one-day champion, Bevan Biaber, a writer from Schenectady, New York, and Vivek Upadhyay. And this was a fantastic game, by the way.
Fantastic game with a very odd Final Jeopardy. Going into the Final Jeopardy, wow. Just wow. You want to talk about the Spider-Man meme? That's what I'm thinking about right now. Jacob has 13,600. Bevan has 13,600. Vivek has 1,200. Now you got to really think about how you want to play this.
And unfortunately, it didn't go out well, because here, and check this out. Category is U.S. National Parks. Clue. Much of the 73-square-mile national park is located beneath the Chihuahuan Desert. Now, I thought it was Mammoth Cave, but that's not true.
No, not even the right part of the country, I don't think. It is actually, you'd have, because the Chihuahua Desert, that's like in the New Mexico border area, then you'd have to go to Carlsbad Caverns.
Right, but here's the thing. So, Vivek, okay.
Me. Ooh, me.
Go ahead.
What is the Eater X National Hot Dog Hall of Fame featuring Chihuahuas, because Kobayashi? By the way, that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and if I see Joey Chestnut win again, I will vomit. Kobayashi should win everything! Oh, hail Kobayashi!
So,
okay, I'm done. Now we can continue.
Thank you. Vivek says, what is Archie's? He loses everything but $2. Okay. Now, Evan says, what is Carlsbad, and scribbled it out, and they could not accept that because that's not the title. Now, here's the interesting part. He says, what is Carlsbad Caverns?
That's
not Jacob. Right.
That's what Jacob says. Yeah.
Excuse me.
But because I'm afraid that it's not the name of the national park, but because the R is before the vowel, that changes the pronunciation, and we cannot accept that either.
Now, if he would have said C-A-V-A-R-S, Carlsbad have foreigns. Would that be okay?
I think it would be okay. I think you'd be good, but again, with caverns. Nope.
He's out. So and Bevan's.
Bevan's the champion with $600.
Whee!
Hey, it's tax. Yeah,
of course, that's not. That's not the worst thing that's ever happened in a two-way tie. If you remember, once upon a time, the champion held on and left with a dollar when the other two people bet everything.
That's correct. Yep.
But hey, tax-free money.
Yeah, as the esteemed Mr. Block says, it's not what you know, it's how you bet. And
bingo.
They didn't bet right, I don't think.
Bingo, of course.
Well, you know what? When two people are tied for first, do you play to win the game, or do you play to hope that someone else fudges up the question? Me, personally, based on that category, I would have bet everything but 1201. That would have blocked second place. That would have forced first place to get it right.
Yep. That's right.
Which he didn't, and so I would have won. Yay.
So, you have a you have an honest review for me. Super Mega Cakes. What do we got?
Yeah, Super Mega Cakes is the newest.
Super Mega Cakes.
Yeah, it's the newest competition on Food Network that features Duff Goldman and his team taking on six other teams to build all in the span of 4 days. Stop me if you've heard this.
Super Mega Cake.
Get out of my head, Gordon Pepper. So, yeah.
Super Mega Chico Brain Cake.
And excuse me, is there a $10,000 prize or is it just for pride?
There's a prize at the end, but it's a Survivor style, so I guess.
Oh, so in other words, one team is eliminated each week until we get a winner who wins something.
Correct.
Okay.
Super not so mega grand prize.
Yeah. And, of course, what happens is every episode is a different challenge. Of course, this being Super Mega Cakes and this being a Warner Brothers Discovery Network, guess what the subject of the Super Mega Cake for round one is?
Superman!
David Zaslav leaving the company.
Don't answer it! Gordon. David Zaslav doesn't know what to do with it. Comes later in the program, okay?
Oh, okay.
You're jumping all over the place here. Anyway, yeah, it's like okay. So the team at the end wins $50,000 and the title of Super Mega Cakes champion.
Not terrible.
Nope. Not terrible.
Super, not so mega, but not terrible. Mega cake fries.
Okay, so the good. Duff Goldman, always good for a cake-oriented show. Also joining him are judges Sherry Yard and Amari Guichon, who are just both incredibly expert judges, especially Amari Guichon. If you've ever seen him online, he does like big cake / chocolate sculptures online, so he knows a thing or two about Super Mega Cakes. And
he does. Production value is also very good. They're not super mega production values, but they're not chintzy production values either.
And it's also it's Duff Goldman. He knows cakes, and he's
got a very personable personality. He's good at what he does.
Very good.
Like I said, I think his best is when he does the kids baking challenge. That's just me.
I don't disagree with you. He's fantastic on that.
So what's the bad on this?
The bad, it seems like it's not really doing anything to change the game. It's like, okay, here are a bunch of teams, here's a theme, here's 4 days, make something. That's it.
Super Mega Xerox Copier.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's not necessarily bad, but it is tedious. It's like, How many times is Food Network going to reinvent the wheel? Every summer, we have one show that seems to be a carbon copy of the show that aired the summer before. This happens to be that show.
And unfortunately, it suffers from super mega slowdown.
Yeah,
the
pacing not good. And again, if you're starting with seven teams, or technically six and Duff, the pacing needs to be a lot better than what we got.
There's only so
but,
much.
Which is, again, that. It's. I'm sorry, Chico, go ahead.
There's only so much you can fit in the 90 minute runtime, so yeah.
Well, but again, 90 minute runtime, you should be able to. I mean, Survivor knows 90 minute runtime, and you're not complaining about the pacing.
Right.
So, Project Runway doesn't do 90 minutes, but you're never complaining about the pacing there. You know, it's all about pacing. Or lack of, in this case.
It is. So there you go. All right, so that's basically all there is to it. Grades up, everyone?
I'm gonna say C+.
I'm gonna give it a super mega B because it's a really good show for what it is, but it doesn't really move the needle one way or the other.
I'm gonna split the middle on this B minus. It's good. It's decent. There's a lot worse things that are out there, but it is definitely on the average side. So a little above average. I'll split the difference.
Okay. Finally,
we are doing the season in review, and this week it is Family Feud as Steve Harvey wraps up another one from Tyler Perry Studios in the Dirty Dirty. Family Feud was renewed for 3 more seasons, so we will see it again next September as it goes to May 2026. But an interesting thing that changed this season, it actually dates back to something that was done last season. Now, for Steve Harvey's tenure on Family Feud, if you are a family and you win 5 games, you'd get a car. Not so. Starting last May, you would have gotten a $30,000 bonus. Which, you know, wasn't terrible. I mean, I'm not going to say no to $30,000. Are you kidding me? And they tried something a little different this season. Now, if you are a 5-time champion family on Family Feud, you get a vacation package to Barbados and $10,000.
Which I actually like better than the car, because, again, you're going to have a lot of issues with who gets the car, how does that go? If it's a vacation in Barbados, that's fun. You can bring the whole family. They can go enjoy each other. I actually like that move. But I'm going to say this, and unpopular opinion time. The Family Feud version that I thought was really good, that I liked a lot better, was the one in Africa.
Are we talking about the one from Botswana that we played last week?
We are indeed. But just any of them were fantastic. Not just in terms of the gameplay, because the gameplay was sometimes went off the chain, but just about culture and the different questions and how the answers went and all that. That was really a major knowledge experience. If you have a chance, and I know I'm sort of beating you both up here a little bit because it's a surprise, Google up on YouTube, and if you can, this is live showing in action. Google up on YouTube the Family Feud Africa question about the best part of a chicken to eat.
Family Feud.
Okay. All right, I'll do that.
You play it, and then you will understand exactly why I think this year, yes, Family Feud America was good and it was solid, but Family Feud Africa, regardless of where you had it, was spectacular.
All right, I've opened up the YouTube window here in our 5-in-1 podcast arena, and I'm looking for Family Feud Best Part of a Chicken to Eat. And what part of a chicken do South Africans like to eat? It is not... Okay, so this is...
That's it.
This is actually from 4 years ago, so... Clip comes courtesy of Fremantle, and here we go.
Here we go. Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
The drumstick.
The drumstick.
It's the audio on?
Everybody loves drumsticks.
Yes. Okay.
Everybody likes drumsticks. Okay, Jesse.
Livers. Yeah, yeah. Livers. Yeah, livers. Yeah.
Can't buy no livers in no store. What? Livers.
You can walk into the store and buy a packet of livers.
Livers! Come on, just pass and play.
Play?
Play, yeah, play, play, play.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
As I throw my bones, I see chicken feet.
Yes.
Yes. Are you serious? Are you? Chicken feet? Ain't no meat on no damn chicken feet. What are you eating? What are you eating? It ain't nothing but bones and toenails. This bet not be up here. This bet not be. Chicken feet.
It's number one.
Number one.
The number one answer.
The number one
of a chicken part people eat in South Africa is skinny damn feet.
They're very gelatinous.
That's the most unbelievable. Chicken feet. I don't, well, name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
Dikilana.
Also known as giblets, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Giblets.
Yes.
Oh, giblets.
Giblets.
Okay. Giblets!
Well done, well done.
I'm scared of your answer, Imzano. I don't know what the hell you getting ready to say. Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
Wings.
Now, drumstick wasn't up there. Please. You have to like wings.
Yes. Yes.
Wings!
There you go.
Yes. Petronella.
You got this. You got
name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
Intamo. Necks.
Neck.
Necks. Yeah. Chicken necks.
Chicken necks.
Yes.
What?
Chicken necks.
What? Chicken necks. Feet.
It's on
necks.
There. It's on there.
There's more meat on the chicken. The neck! Man, hey man, hey, y'all need to cut necks. Jesse.
Yeah.
You got one strike.
Mm-hmm.
Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
You know, I'm gonna go with chicken breasts, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken breasts! We got two strikes, Rhythm City. We gotta be careful. Scandals can steal. Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
I'm gonna have to go for those juicy thighs.
Thigh.
Yes.
Yes. You got this. It's all on
you. You got two strikes, Rhythm City. You can clear the board with this one right here, or Scandal can steal. Give me a chicken part that South Africans love to eat.
I'm going to go with chicken hearts.
Hearts?
Hearts, Steve.
Oh, y'all tripping. Oh, y'all tripping now. Y'all tripping, really? Chicken hearts?
Yeah.
Hearts. Oh!
Oh!
Name a part of a chicken that South Africans love to eat.
Chicken heads.
You have got to be kidding. You eat chicken heads?
Yes!
Chicken heads.
I noticed that that was sponsored by KFC.
But I will also say this, okay? That, Gordon, you're absolutely right. It was just such a beautiful cultural moment. I love that.
That's so...
I love that.
It's a version of Family Feud you should be watching. Yes, the American version is great, but this is the version you should be watching.
And
especially in a time where, not going to get overly political here, but especially in a time where we are losing really important pieces of culture and how people are supposed to be getting along with each other, when something like this shows up, which is exactly how we should be getting along with each other, this is stuff that needs to be watched and followed and understood.
I agree.
Again, not my cup of tea, but he's very funny and the celebrity versions work. So, A, Ray.
Big A. Big ups to Steve Harvey. May he... Right, and right now, Steve Harvey is as known for Family Feud in this day and age than Richard Dawson in back in the day, so...
Maybe I don't think it's a comparison. I think Steve Harvey a lot more. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely different, but absolutely. You know, American version A, foreign version bordering on A+.
There you go.
All right, so that ends...
We're not even talking about Jerry D, who, you know, does his thing in Canada and is really good at it, but yeah.
So Chico, what's happening in Brain Vision in Act 3?
Still to come, I play Alan Ludden to Gordon and Jason's, somebody. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including another brick in the wall. A brand new brick, if you will, with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander, 6-5-1. You're home, but we love to interrupt you. Give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 different pieces of chicken that you probably didn't realize was part of the chicken. Until you realize that it's part of the chicken. Chicken toes. Chicken feet. Chicken neck. Chicken head.
Chicken testicles.
Chickens don't have testicles. They lay eggs. Wait a minute. Do chickens have testicles? You know, I'm going to look this up. We'll be right back here on 5-1. This is Wheel Up to Interrupt. I'm going to go look up chicken testicles. We'll be right back.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. In the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Vision News is presented by Chicken Testicles, a great source of protein, vitamins, minerals, and tastes just like sausage. Goes great with chili sauce, fish sauce, and Gordon Pepper has just introduced me to this fun little treat. So stop by your local
store. I proudly endorse it. Proudly endorsed.
Proudly endorsed by Gordon Pepper. Pick up your jar of Chicken Testicles today.
Tastes just like chicken.
Testicles.
What? Ow.
Hi, Jason Elliott. Look at what happens when you're not minding the store.
Yeah, the store starts selling chicken testicles.
Yeah, and by the way...
Is it a real thing?
It is indeed a real thing.
Aha!
It's big in Thailand, from what I understand.
Well, there you go.
Well,
we have lots of news and not a lot of time, so if you would, please.
The five words this week. Rocky Mountain oysters that cluck.
Or roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock104, Rock Tracks and Tracks Productions, and at Doug Morris Games. And don't forget to listen every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104. That's WXRR, Hattiesburg 104.5 in your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 apps.
Oh, and by the way, breaking news, we're getting a game 7.
Yeah!
Okay. Wow. This is... Okay, you need to breathe and stretch for this one. Hit the Concord.
It's business time. I know what you're trying to say. business time. Ooh, it's business. It's business.
We have casts for the challenge, Millionaire and Match Game. So we're going to start.
I think I'll help you out here.
Thank you. Let's start with the challenge, which has July 23rd for season 41. That is.
What is it? Legends and New Threats?
Vets versus New Threats, it's called.
Right. Hold on. I got it here.
The vets.
Okay.
The vets are all well-known challengers: Michaela Bradshaw, Theo Campbell, Derek Chavez, Johnny Bananas, Anissa Ferreira, Leroy Garrett, Nani Gonzalez, Olivia Kaiser, Derek Kaczynski, Aviv Melmed, Ashley Mitchell, Nia Moore, Rogan O'Connor, Cara Maria Sorbello, CT Tamborello, and Turbo.
Okay, and who are the new threats?
The new threats are Jake Cordish from Love Island All-Stars, boxer Ben Davis from Love Island USA, Leonardo Dionisio from Too Hot to Handle, Izzy Fairthorn from Are You the One, Will Gagnon from Cheer, Justin Hinsley from Big Brother 26, Cedric Hazes from Amazing Race 35, Jeremy Heichel from Big Brother 25, America Lopez from Married at First Sight UK, Adrian Naylor from Survivor 41, Sydney Siegel from Canada's Ultimate Challenge, Lika Sodade from Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, former WWE wrestler Gabe Y, and from Big Brother Australia, Tay Wilcoxon.
Cool. So this celebrity cast that I'm about to you is full of blank, meaning that we are talking about the celebrities that are coming for new Martin Short version of Match Game, which is starting July 23rd. And by the way, according to rumors, according to TV Insider and others, it's going to be pretty much what we saw in the Alec Baldwin version.
So technically season six, then.
Yes. So, it's time to match the stars. Adam Pally, Amy Sedaris, Anna Gasteyer, Andrea Martin, Anthony Anderson, Beattie Wong, Beanie Feldstein, Carrie Delevingne, Caroline Ray, awesome, Constance Zimmer, Ego and Wodum, Jackie Tone, Jim Belushi, Joakim Boester, Joel McHale, Cal Penn, Kevin Nealon, Lamorne Morris, Pete Holmes, Randall Park, Selena Gomez, not a shock, Thomas Lennon,
also
Titus
not a
Burgess,
shock.
As long as the check cashes. Sorry, man. Love him. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, Von Miller, and Zue Fumoto. And that will be July 23rd on ABC.
And then we have our pairings for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We have Joe Buck and Oliver Hudson, Helen Hunt.
There is one very inspired one.
Jason Heel.
I was just saying, never mind. Okay.
Okay. So we have Joe Buck and Oliver Hudson, Helen Hunt and Dan Bukatinski, Cal Penn and Jamila Jamil, Brad Gorski and Gary Jannetty, Mike Birbiglia and Atsuko Okatsuka, Travel Tillman and Zach Cherry, Sarah Silverman and Mark Maron, Jordan Klepper and Ronnie Ching, Jillian Bell and Chloe Fineman. And there is one more pairing, and I'll let Jason go for it.
Ken Jennings and Matt Damon.
Holy shit.
Yeah, if you know, you know, right? Because Ken Jennings,
yes.
Again, no stranger to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Ken Jennings. He's played the syndicated version. His partner keeps getting bumped on Jimmy Kimmel's show for some reason.
Right, exactly. It's the Fred Allen pair, yes. But, okay, fine. I'll deal.
Yeah, and he's like, and Ken Jennings is all like, do we love Matt Damon here or what? And Jimmy's like, I'm coming on Jeopardy with someone you hate.
Yes.
By the way, we also have Joel McHale and Jim Rash, Adam Devine and Anders Holm, Kate Flannery and Oscar Nunez, Drew Carey and Aisha Tyler, Asif
Ali. That is going to be fun, too.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Asif Ali and Sagar Scheif and Jake Tapper and Caitlin Collins.
Okay.
Jake Tapper has a book to sell. That's what it is.
And isn't Caitlin Collins also working in the Trump administration, I think?
I don't think she is.
But anyway, we will see that in July as well.
Yeah, same night as Millionaire. Same night as Match Game.
That would be July 23rd. Right. Okay. So then we have a date book. Gordon, I will take this. Saturday is the Kids' Choice Awards. Of course, there are going to be some awards related to us. I think like a talent and game show, I think.
Like best reality show, best game show, that sort of thing. Yep, there's going to be...
I think so.
There's going to be stuff in our field there.
Sunday is the season premiere of WWE LFG Season 2 with Michelle McCool, I believe, replacing Mickie James.
Yep.
Then Tuesday is I Kissed a Boy, the reunion on Hulu, and Quiztopia on Portal 1. You tell us about that one, Chico.
It is their answer to the great quiz wars of the late 2010s. You already have playing arcade games for fun and profit every night at 9. Now they're doing the whole live quiz thing, which I didn't think was still a thing, but if they're giving away
money, will check that out. What time? 9 p.m.?
Yay, live quiz thing.
It's 8:30.
All right. Just remind me when it's closed, because I will log on. I think I still have my app there.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And, of course, Wednesday is the season finale of Raid the Cage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that app, though, because, of course, we all love gambling. Allegedly.
For all of you degenerates out there, Scientific Games has renewed its licensing agreement with Banijay to create branded retail and digital lottery games, which covers the Deal or No Deal themed game licensed by Scientific Games in more than 30 countries in North America, Europe, and Oceania. Tina Hoover, Vice President of Licensing at Scientific Games, says, "We are thrilled to renew our license with Banijay. Deal or No Deal is a universally recognized brand and a perfect fit for our popular licensed lottery games. Our creative teams are hard at work designing retail and digital play experiences that capture the excitement of this iconic TV game show."
Well, Gordon, check this out according to the press release. In 2024, Scientific Games products featuring licensed brands had $2.6 billion in retail sales in the U.S. alone. Wow.
Sounds about right. People like playing games.
And also, Deal or No Deal is 23 years old. That's crazy. And that's a very smart move. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
So dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
I've said it before.
And this is not just dumb. This is criminal. Okay?
Uh-huh. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Drugs are bad.
Okay. This a woman by the name of Magdalena Sadio, who was on the 2021 Polish version of Love Island, was jailed for 14 years because she used her management's bills to prepare criminal accounts for crime bosses based in the Middle East. She had cartel members based in Dubai, had masterminded conspiracy to ship enormous sums of cocaine into the UK. And multifaceted illegal activities. Basically, she was the accountant who got caught.
Oh, you never get caught if you're the accountant.
That's why Ben Affleck...
Until you do.
But in this case, she did. But let's do some haterade, shall we?
Haterade!
Go for it, Chico.
All right, so it's no secret. Grant Ellison, Juliana Pascuarosa. Done. Now, while Grant is talking to anybody who will listen to him, Juliana has took to Instagram with a carousel of photos modeling swimwear and her nice girl's fashion line. The caption, closing this chapter with a healing heart and a quiet kind of peace. Not because it was all easy, but because I made it through with grace and growth.
If you say so.
I'm proud of who I've become because I worked through what's tried to break me. I choose happiness and giggles every day because I've experienced what it feels like to lose it and what kind of fight it takes to get it back.
And then you post it on social media for everyone else to hear instead of privately healing between yourself.
No, this doesn't scream thirst trap at all. I don't know what you're talking
about. No, it does not. So where, well, we know our good friend is in jail. Where are we sending Juliana?
We're going to send her to the UK to watch a Match Game episode which features a very sad ending. So Blankety Blank is turned into a bit of a hit on British television. Of course, Blankety Blank, the British version of Match Game.
Right.
With panelists Jack D, Rob Beckett, Lucy Beaumont, Steph McGovern, Kelly Holmes, and Omid Jolly. Contestant by the name of Nathaniel Hill. He won the game, he won the checkbook, he did all of the things, but an interesting story about him. He was a former officer in the Royal Air Force. He completed 6 tours of Iraq, 4 tours of Afghanistan, worked on Operation Red Flag, and was injured by shrapnel from a roadside bomb, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, discovered a blood clot in his leg, and then battled 3 bouts of sepsis before having an above knee amputation in 2022. Nathaniel died at the age of 39. Mm. Yeah. And the thing of it is, he was training to represent GB in the Los Angeles Paralympics in 2026 or 2028. So, yeah, really sad story for what has to be a very accomplished life.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing for everything that he went through to do that. I mean, it's sad, but at the same time, it's a celebration of the human spirit.
Basically.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Nothing, no way to just do this. Let's just get the media pros on.
I got pros in different area codes. Area codes. Pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Jimmy Fallon finally made it to Cannes to sell his new show On Board. Lisa Welchel says she was never called about Survivor 50. Daisy Mae Cooper and Alan Carr depart Password UK ahead of its second season. Jinx Monsoon snags the role of Mary Todd Lincoln in Oh Mary. Kayla Radomski of So You Think You Can Dance fame is just got a ring from Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother. Katie Thurston was absolutely spiraled by Ananda Lewis's death. Simone says Drag Race and her mother saved her from an attempt. Mr. Beast is trying to snag an Emmy nomination for Beast Games. Roy Wood is making a documentary about the baseball long ball. Steve Kornacki's sister was a champion on Jeopardy earlier this week.
That's right.
Shea Coulee is bringing her looks to the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the upcoming series Ironheart. I believe that drops next week.
Next week, yeah.
Ginger Minj was diagnosed with autism. Julianne Hough teases the next season of Dancing. Paige DeSorbo makes a surprise trip to Love Island, USA. George Gray is celebrating 15 years on The Price is Right. And we have the contestants on season 4 of The Traitors. They are Candace Dillard Bassett, Carolyn Stansberry, Colton Underwood, Dorinda Medley, Eric Nam, Ian Terry, good friend of the show, Ian Terry, Johnny Weir, Kristen Kish, Rob Sesternino, Lisa Rinna, Mark Ballas, Mara Higgins, Michael Rappaport, Monet Exchange, Natalie Anderson, Portia Williams, Rob Rosch, Ron Funches, Stephen Coletti, Tara Lipinski, Tiffany Mitchell, Yamil Yamyam Arocho, and in a BS Big Show crossover, Donna Kelsey.
My pro of the week is someone who you already mentioned, Deco.
Uh-huh.
And that would be Jinx Monsoon going from Pirates, which closes on July 27th, right into, you know, subbing for the Tony Award-winning Cole Escola in Oh Mary. And I think Jinx Monsoon will kill in that role.
Oh, but
absolutely,
yes.
Kill.
Absolutely. But your pro,
who's yours?
Your pro of the week this week, because LEGO Masters has been renewed for a sixth season, but with a new host. And that would be the host of The Masked Singer himself. I guess we could call him Brick Cannon now. No, that doesn't work. Nick Cannon will be hosting season 6 of LEGO Masters.
That's very intriguing. I like that.
I don't.
I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued, but in the bad way. I'm wondering why, not Will Forte,
Will Arnett. My guess is they couldn't make something work around his schedule, and they wanted a new season as soon as possible. By the way, auditions for season 6, June 21st and 22nd at Legoland, California.
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, I don't see it as a fit, but you know what? Better things, you know, crazier things have happened. We'll see.
Yep.
We shall. And those are your pros.
And that is BrainVision. Jason, if you would, please.
Button right here.
Okay. There's nothing plus or super or $1 million or Jimmy Fallon about it, but we're going to pass the password right after this, here on WLTI, far away from the Big 500.
WLTI has brought to you by, are you smarter than a chicken? Forget tic-tac-toe. Chicken's gonna play mastermind. Can you figure out the colors before the chicken does? You may not. If you lose, well, you've seen this show enough to know the carry theme here. Are you smarter than a chicken? Coming to Atlantic City casinos, even though they've been there already, or to anywhere else near you that features some sort of social media.
So we're going to play one of our favorite games on this show. It's called Pass the Password in Act 3. We're going to give you a situation, and our good panel is going to give the password. You mind if I start this one? Because
please
I have an easy one.
Please.
Okay. Wheel of Fortune's ratings came out for the end of the year, and it is up year to year. Albeit small, but up. The password is...
The password is... Security. Ryan Seacrest was just the security blanket that the show needed. And now that he's made his presence known and established, things can only go even further up.
But the password is duh. Ian, think this was going to happen? I mean, it's Ryan friggin' Seacrest. He clearly knows what he's doing. The audience responds in kind. What did you think was going to happen? Do you really, like, believe the tabloids are like, oh my god, Wheel of Fortune is in trouble. Nobody likes Ryan Seacrest. They're thinking about replacing him. No! Come on. Password is dumb.
Yo. These people know that negative posts will get clicks and people fall for it. People stop! If you stop clicking on them, they'll stop writing it.
Okay. The password is inevitable. Yeah. Because when Ryan Seacrest came in and we watched and my dad and I watched the first week and we watched pretty much the whole season. Ryan Seacrest has this different sort of energy. And it's a different vibe, and it's a different, it's a different animal. But it's just as good, and it's similar without being, you know, similar but different. Oh, and by the way, I'm gonna pull out a little Nostradamus here. I know this may not be total something here. Do not be surprised if we get. As of when they start taping again, that this will be Vanna White's last season, and Maggie Sajak will be taking over as the letter turner pusher, whatever, in the 2026-2027 season. This is Vanna White's last hurrah, I believe.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Not because I want it to happen. I'm just saying because it's the transition period. You know what I'm saying? 2-year transition.
Time is undefeated. Chico, next one.
Next up, I'm gonna segue into my favorite show of all, and Gordon and Jason's favorite unironic show of all. Some golden. Bachelors and bachelorettes are heading to paradise this summer. Teach these youngins a thing or two about romance, I guess. The password is...
The password is... Desperation, actually. Because I believe that the outside forces... of The Bachelor are infiltrating into the program. I really believe the Bachelor franchise are on its last legs, and they need help any way they can. The password is desperation.
I'm going to go with the password being transition. I don't think they're on their last legs. I think they've been on their last legs. You need something to carry the franchise and carry people that need jobs and things within the franchise. And obviously here at WLTI, and we say this immensely, we want all game shows to succeed, whether or not we like them or not, whether or not we feel that they are our cup of tea in Wizard of J or not. We want all of them to succeed. So regardless of how it gets there, I really feel a transition may be needed off the franchise into something, the Bachelor Paradise pad thing, whatever. But whatever it is, it's going to be transitioning. Chico?
The password is multifaceted. We have something for the youngins, something for the grown and sexy folks, because we all about the grown and sexy folks on this show. Yeah, but, you know, it's my way of saying a little of column A, Gordon, and a little of column B, Jason.
Okay. I get that.
All right, sure. Gordon.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Gordon?
All right, next one. Now, we've been chatting about a lot of different things in terms of that. We've been chatting about, we always been chatting about, Bachelor, but let's go to the big granddaddy of them all, Survivor 50. We've known the cast. We've seen the cast. There seems to be a generation that is not in the cast. The password is...
The password is... I can't really say it. I can't really say it because it's two words, but the password is bias, as in currency bias, as in we want to stack the deck as much as possible with all of the young kids instead of all of the old heads.
The password is ageist.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Thank you.
That is the correct word. Nothing against Jeff Probst, and put it to you this way. No one would be satisfied no matter what cast they put together. That is absolutely true. Okay? You're not going to get you're not going to get a Survivor Battle Royale. Although, Gordon, you would love that, wouldn't you?
I would. Because then I can make the password bloodshed and violence, but I cannot do that because it's not that sort of Survivor.
So they gotta make cuts somewhere. But yes, there is an absolute ageist bias there. Password's ageist. Gordon?
The password is mystified. I am mystified by some of the decisions that they have made. I am mystified in terms of the winners. I get some of the people they brought back, which is nice that you get a little piece of everything. I really wish they were spread out. And more importantly, this feels to me like, again, the gameplay is going to be controlled by all the shenanigans outside of Survivor with all the friends and relations that were there that almost sort of kind of wrecked Survivor 40 Winners at War, if you're going to go in that direction, which I am. And I fear that you're going to have that same issue here as well, which could be one of the reasons why they've stacked the deck this way and have gotten a whole bunch of new cast, thinking that maybe they don't have the same ties as the older cast does. I think they're wrong. It's one of the things that I hate about an All-Stars episode. I hated it with the Survivor Season 40. I hated it with Big Brother, because clearly they had alliances before the show started, which was proven, which really, for me, really took the taste out of my mouth in terms of future All-Star editions for Big Brother, let alone for Survivor. So, mystified.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I have one, Chico, you mind?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Big Brother 27 may have hinted at its theme with Julie Chen Moonves in front of a bunch of keys. Password is...
Go. Oh, the password is punishment. Because here we have Julie Chen standing against the wall of keys, looking like the clerk at the second greatest hotel in all of Radford. So you have a whole lot of keys with key art. And I'm like, that's the worst pun I think I've ever seen in Big Brother history. And now, all of a sudden I'm thinking, I thought last season was crazy. This season's about to be off the chain.
Yeah, I mean, the password to me is continuity here. Because, well, first of all, remember, Big Brother 26 was an actually entertaining season. Who knew? From Angela to Tucker to everybody, really.
Really?
And hopefully they will continue it. And we hope that they actually keep the theme for most of the season, which, by the way, Big Brother AI, they did, which I loved. So, Gordon, what's your password?
I really loved the last season of Big Brother in any and all aspects. It was a very satisfying season, and I will come up with the worst pun. The password is Keeksotic. Q-U-I-X-O-T-I-C, but it is Keeksotic.
Right.
Chico understood where I was going with that.
I totally
look up the word, kids.
Yeah. Key
Chico, what do you got?
Alright. What I got is Ken Jennings is bringing Matt Damon on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The password is
Richardish. You know the nickname for Richard, you understand what I mean. Because Ken Jennings is a smarmy guy. And of course, you keep the modern day version, and here's an old head reference, of the Fred Allen Jack Benny feud going on. And then you have comedy ensue. Still don't like it, but it is a very Richardish move.
The password is Smarmalicious.
Yes.
It is smarmy, and we love it. And we love this stuff. And because it almost sort of kind of reminds me of the chase and one-upsmanship, except this is real life fun. It's not, well, we need to cause some drama, and therefore we're going to do this fun. It's real. You can tell it's real, and I'm all for it. So it's Smarmalicious.
Smarmalicious. The
Chico.
The password is Synergistic. while we're all making light of everything, I mean, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years since we've last seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I love it to death, but people need a reason to watch and a reason to get hooked. And I can't think of a better way to hook an audience than to get Ken Jennings and Jimmy Kimmel's mortal enemy on the show.
Woohoo!
So, Synergistic. All right, Gordon. Time to wrap
last
it up.
Last one,
and we're going to be a little bit serious here for a moment.
Okay.
Because our government decides that it doesn't want to honor the, let's just say, the achievements of people that are not, shall we say, of the same color as the president's, we will. We are taping this on the day of Juneteenth. And we can talk all about the progress of not just African Americans, but minorities in general, in terms of hosting, winning things, coordinating things between Survivor and Big Brother, and finally everything from a game show's perspective being on an even keel, including people in the Tournament of Champions, etc., etc., etc. Name the one word, and you can use it to describe either currently what's going on, the achievements that have been made, and the threat of a lot of that going away. The password is...
I'm going to tell you something, and you may think of this in a different way, okay? The password to me is normal, okay? I'll explain what I mean, and you may think I'm a little weird on this, okay?
Well, I think you're weird regardless, so what you think now is really not going to change my opinion of you.
Okay, but what I mean is this.
With you, love hugs and kisses, of course.
If you told me 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that the majority of the game show hosts, or the most successful game show hosts, are people of color, and they win Emmy Awards? Ha ha ha! I'd laugh in your face. Okay? But there are more accepted, loved, and admired people of color in the game show and reality show industry than ever, ever, ever before. And I don't think the trend is going to stop. Politics be damned. The door's open. Everyone's coming on in. And I think we're really happy. I think we're really the better for it. I mean, look, if you told me that you would have an African-American host, Let's Make a Deal, longer than Monty Hall, really? Overall? That's insane. Insane. So the password is normal, which is very, very good for me.
Quite good. Password is progress. We've come a long way in the 50 years since Adam Wade started on musical chairs. We still have a long way to go.
50 years ago, by the way, I believe, right?
Yep, 50 years ago this week. Still have a long way to go before, and again, there are certain bad faith actors online that are not helping any, but we need to remember the game shows are about having fun. They're not pushing an agenda, not pushing a message. They're just about.
Oh, to some people they are.
And they're all, some people and they're they all are. On Reddit. And they're all on Reddit, and bad faith actors are writing articles based on those articles.
Okay.
Gordon?
The password, unfortunately, is fear. It is clear that people don't want to abdicate power. It is clear that people don't want to share. It is clear that, unfortunately, we are in the same situation that we seem to be finding ourselves in every 40 to 50 years when it comes into squelching other people's rights. I think it is fantastic for all the achievements and progress that have been made over the years, but in the past 5 to 6 months have shown how fleeting that time is and how there must be vigilancy at all times. And not just one race, but all races, all religions, all sexual preferences, et cetera, ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Because just like that, your rights can be taken away, and just like that, you can leave the country for whatever reason that is being, pun completely intentional here, trumped up. What? So as much progress as we've had, we've seen how quickly things can be overturned.
I remember a man.
So unfortunately for me, fear.
Yeah, I remember a man much wiser than I once said, "There must be freedom, or there must be freedom for all, or no one is free."
Right now, no one is. To those people who celebrate Juneteenth, at least the people here in this podcast salute you. And applaud all achievements that have been made, and hoping that the history that has been so long hard and so hard fought to attain doesn't go away incredibly quickly.
Agreed. And with that, we're going to wrap this show up right after this. This is 5-1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. Let's go.
WLTI has been brought to you by Fear of a Black Game Show. Sorry, it is what it is. It's only a matter of time until all the progress that's been made slowly goes away, especially in that world, and that makes me incredibly, incredibly sad. Chico, there is a clip that I played earlier on, which ironically enough was based on Family Feud and Family Feud Africa. There's another one that is based on current pop and black culture. We can't play it because it's definitely not safe for work. There'd be way too many bleepings on here. But it just shows from a cultural standpoint so many things about our country and so many stereotypes and different aspects that are there. And for me to be in my soapbox for another 5 seconds, I'm hoping that this is progress. I'm hoping that there are enough people that are not scared or intimidated or incited that they can still do the right thing. Based on what we see in the past 48 hours in terms of celebrations and things, I am not overly enthused about those prospects. Here is hoping that in the future there will be people that are in positions of power that know how to deal with and turn the stem and tide of a small group of people that feel that they need to control the rights of everybody. I will leave it at that.
And with that, we go into a speed round. Right now, Drag Race the third bracket is up. Ginger Minj and who was the other one? Ginger Minj and
Denali and Diabetti, or they should be the three that advance. From a story standpoint, I would love to see a second coming or a resurgence. I just don't see it in this bracket.
All right. Jay?
Jeopardy, we're still on the Wheel of Champions, right?
Yep. I think we're going to be wheeling and dealing for quite a while now.
This is usually what happens in June, like clockwork. You usually don't have somebody going on a major run.
AGT, did we see anybody good?
We saw Terry steal one of Simon's golden buzzers, so that's got to count for something.
I'm waiting to see Cedric the Flying Banana before we decide to have anything else.
By the way, the Funketeers was the name of the act that Terry used Simon's Golden Buzzer on. And they haven't played for 36 years. Imagine that, huh? So, that's happening.
Yeah.
I think we're almost at the point where we just need to go to the mail, I think.
I think so, too. Unfortunately, the mailbox, she is empty. But if you want to fix that, you can do so by sending us some correspondence at WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2 at the end.
I am at GSNN Haterade.
And the network is 5&1net. That's the number 5&1net. We talk about anything and everything going on network wide. Jay is one of the main regulars of the NAWC this weekend. What's going on?
And Gordon joined us last week, and we had a blast. That was so much fun.
We must do it again.
We must do it again. This week, Nikki is away making money for the company. So Josh and I will be holding the keys to the kingdom as we head towards Night of Champions a week from Saturday. AEW All In. And we add Mercedes Moné collect her sixth belt. Or Mercedes Hogan, if you want to call her that.
Mercedes five belts.
She's Mercedes six belts now.
Sorry, you're right. Mercedes six belts.
Yes. So we will cover all the news on that. Yes, Big Show will be back in about maybe 3 weeks as training camps open up. And we do have a piece of news that Shador Sander does not know the brake pedal.
No. Okay. Oh, dear. Over at itwasathingontv.com, we talked about season 1 of Charles in Charge and how that deviated greatly from the syndicated seasons to follow. What CBS did that caused it to cancel the show after one season, and what syndication did to make sure it finished its run. That's it. It was a thing on TV.com. Next week, it is a... Oh, wait. Sorry. Gordon, UBAtoday.info. Give us the skinny.
This week is the last week of the regular season, and the playoffs start mid-July. Yeehaw!
Nice.
Yeehaw, indeed.
Okay, now, next week is a very special edition of the We Love Twitter Out podcast, where we go over everything we talked about in the last 6 months and assemble our list of the 10 biggest stories in the game show world so far. So,
I think I have at least 4 off the top of my head.
Off the top of my head, I also have at least I have 2 solid big stories. But we're gonna get our heads together, put together a list, and share it with all of you as we go ever so closer to 500. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And seriously, folks, spread the love.
To us.